and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, live from Los Angeles, where the temperature's in double digits.
Yeah.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party on this historic week. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. Lots of new pictures up there from our big trip to D.C.
Tons, and tons of new Photoshop fun as well.
Oh, I got a bone to pick with you and the listeners about that.
What did I do?
Brian Lamb on C-SPAN did the hour interview with me. It'll be airing in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
He started putting up Photoshop fun and blaming me for everything. And I'm like, well, I can't control what the listeners do. There was one where, I don't know, Cindy McCain ate a baby or
whatever
something. And I said, well, I'm not saying she eats babies. I'm just saying she looks like an alien from V. Anyway, so, because, you know, whatever, talking about the left being, I'm like, what?
Mean.
I didn't do, yeah. Yes. Like those damn listeners. Oh. Anyway, you can email us all there.
That's funny.
Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice DD Jim Ward, who is in Charlotte, we think.
Well, we don't know where he is. He won't answer his phone.
Courtesy of an airline we won't name, but sounds like Poo Knighted.
Do we know that he flew on?
I believe so.
Because I didn't.
I did. And do you remember my trip there involved fire trucks and ambulances?
Yes.
And an emergency landing.
My trip back involved a bump up to first class.
Yay, again. How did that happen?
I don't know, but I've never flown first class before.
Rock on. Yeah, you're usually down dancing a jig with Kate Winslet.
I certainly am. But I think I'm going to demand first class from now on.
Yeah, Jim missed his connection or something.
Whatever.
Or he just doesn't want to come to work because he's tired, and we don't really know.
But we came to work.
Yes, and we did.
Tired.
And we are running on fumes.
Yeah.
All right. That's why this would be day two of an excellent day to call the show. Why? Because we're running on fumes. All right. However, I am letting my freak flag fly, aren't I, this morning, Chris? I do not care about being a big geek. What am I wearing on my head?
Your bedazzled Obama baseball cap.
Indeed, I am.
Wow, you really go out in public with that thing?
I helped the Obama tchotchke industry.
You certainly did.
Yes. I don't care. Who knows it? It looks like Aretha Franklin's hat, but with Obama written on it.
It really does.
It's a church-going baseball hat.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, someone photoshopped your face on Aretha's body. With wearing the hat. Yeah, that's in Photoshop fun.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right, great. That'll show up on C-SPAN. Okay. So you like to make fun of black singers? What? No, I... No, those listeners. All right, the other thing I bought is the... I bought one of everything, but I bought the cover of the commemorative issue of the Washington Post that just says, President Obama.
Yes.
And the incredibly tacky inauguration shirt with, I don't know, it's a big picture of, I can't even remember what's in there, but it's...
Of like Obama and Malcolm X and...
No, not that one. Okay. I don't know which one it is. It's the inauguration special one something. Yeah, people apparently, the newspaper business in trouble?
Computer says no.
No! You couldn't tell by the long line of people at a Hudson News store at Washington's Union Station Wednesday morning. Large number of people bought multiple copies of newspapers.
I saw that line.
By the time I got to Baltimore Airport, they were all gone.
Really?
It was a woman going, what, isn't there any Obama swag? And the woman's like, we were sold out this morning. Like the day after Inauguration Day, they were sold out.
I got my gifts for everyone at National Airport. They had plenty left.
Yeah, Baltimore Airport did not plan.
Okay.
They didn't plan well.
Maybe that's because they're Baltimore and not D.C.
I don't know. Oh, Lord, I'm tired. And also, Julie in Seattle and lots of other people called to rub in my face how the Huffington Post party was the hottest party.
It was.
Of the inauguration, which Mama was invited to, but Mama didn't know that until it was too late.
Mama needs a BlackBerry.
Yeah.
So that
Ariana,
Mama can...
Ariana emailed me herself to invite me,
yeah.
And I didn't get that till, yeah. Okay. Julie writes, she was nice enough to send a bunch of pictures of all the celebrities at the Huffington Post party where I could have met Will.i.am and Sting and pretty much everyone who's anyone ever in the history of anything, which might have completely turned my life around in some sort of magical way that will now never happen and I'll never know.
How's your blogging going for Huffington Post?
Anyway, Julie writes... Dear Stephanie, too bad you missed the HuffPost party. In my opinion, Demi Moore looks complacent and Ashton ripe for picking up another oversexed older woman. See, there goes that. There
oversexed?
Goes that opportunity.
Oversexed?
I could have scooped up Ashton Kutcher, who is yummy.
Yeah, but you would.
I will get to all this today, but I know I'm an Obama fan, but is it a little dizzying what he's done already? It's like a dream come true. It's just the headline. Remember those fake headlines before the election happened? It would be like, remember what things would be like if we ever had a President Obama, like the things that he would do?
Right.
Oh, my God. I mean.
Oh, my God.
Those are the headlines, Obama. He's closed Gitmo and he's
he hasn't closed pay Gitmo.
And he's lobbying ethics. Okay.
He hasn't closed Gitmo. He's only frozen pay for those making 100.
All I'm saying, he's been on the phone. He solved the Middle East crisis. He's
and all while
he's
not,
been in office one day.
And
we
all
have
while
transparency.
Not officially being president.
We're doing our business in the daylight, just like he said. Oh my God.
But he retook the oath of office behind closed doors.
That wasn't his fault. John Roberts boned it up. What a bone. Can I just tell you, I was in Baltimore Airport, and this is just seriously a whole new day, isn't it? I mean, do you ever remember being in a bar anyway? First of all, if people weren't paying attention when Bush was on TV, they were booing. Ugh. This entire airport bar is watching, you know, the ceremony or the... You know, what are those things called?
Signing ceremony.
I've had an hour of sleep.
I know you have.
That's not, anyway, but I mean, just like cheers. Everything he said, cheers. And then Joe Biden got the whole airport cracked up with that line about my memories.
Obama.
As John Roberts.
Yeah.
Yeah, Obama, he needs to be above the fray. He needed to pretend he didn't think that was funny. But you know he did.
But no, he at that point, nobody else knew that Obama was going to be retaking the oath of office with John Roberts.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and Obama knew that he was going to be retaking the oath with John Roberts a little bit later on that day.
Oh,
so.
Please. It is such a fake, what the Fox controversy. Because, by the way, if anybody had ever challenged this, guess whose court it would have ended up in front of?
John Roberts.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Meanwhile, there's a couple of party busters, including drug-addled gas bag Rush Limbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
How about this, when everyone is on such a huge high? I mean, look at any poll. Rush Limbaugh already rooting for Obama's failure. He said, I disagree fervently with the people on the Republican side of the aisle who have caved and who say, I hope he succeeds. He told a major print, he said he was asked by a major American print publication to offer a statement explaining his hope for the Obama presidency.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm thinking that I'll send you a response, but I don't need 400 words. I need four. I hope he fails.
Oh. That's not very nice.
Can we? I mean, and I'm just asking because this is like the same journalism Fox does. I'm just asking the question. I'm just saying, can't we execute him for treason? I'm just saying, theoretically, and illegal in a theoretical sense. Okay, he said, what is unfair about me saying I hope liberalism fails? Liberalism's our problem. Liberalism is what has gotten us dangerously close to the precipice here. Because apparently liberals have been in charge. That's what's gotten us to the precipice, is the liberalism of George W. Bush. Apparently. That's what got us into this mess, Chris. And see, that's why that needs to fail.
Rush needs to ice his groin after that stretch.
I would be honored if the drive-by media headlined me all day long, Limbaugh, I hope Obama fails. Someone's got to say it. Yeah, you go ahead and say it. Okay.
He's not a very nice man.
No. All right. Yeah, by the way, Shano, on the job.
That's right.
On the retaking of the oath. Thank you, Shano.
Some constitutional lawyers say President Obama should retake the oath of office.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
Chief Justice John Roberts flubbed it Tuesday.
That I will execute the office of President of the United States faithfully.
Misplacing the word faithfully.
The conspiracy theorists in the blogosphere, particularly on the conservative side, were going nuts about the legality of this.
Obama took the oath of office for a second time yesterday.
Yeah, baby. Thank you.
He did it.
Wow, we, having lost their last hope of him not being a U.S. citizen and not and yeah. not eligible for the office of president. This was the very last edition of. Yes, thank you.
And thanks for playing Grasping for Straws.
Oh, maybe he's not really president. All right, nice try. Nice try. Good job. Good job so far. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Step right up. Get your Republican talking points. Get your peanut-sized brains. Your brain must be this. I hate rabbits to go on this ride.
What character is that? Oh, it's the right-wing tool from the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay, thank you.
Someone has to do it. Jim's not here.
Your voice work leaves something to be desired, well, if you don't mind my saying so.
I'm a producer. I'm not talent.
Don't make me get Rebecca in here with the Ross Perot again.
No, see?
Goddamn, Jim. Okay. Britt Hume on the Fox News Sunday show. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
The whole rule of law and blah, blah.
Whatever.
Then, by the way, not just Conyers, but others are saying we are going to have to have investigate.
Pelosi.
They're farcical.
Yeah.
They're farcical, these investigations.
Well, what we've heard really is that John Conyers, one of the most liberal members of the American body politic, wants to hold some investigations. He's held many farcical investigations in the past, and if these investigations are run by him and out of his committees, the likelihood is they will go nowhere and probably end up being an embarrassment to the Congress and the Democrats in charge there.
Yeah, well, we might want to wait and see about that. You know, it's interesting, even though Obama hasn't said publicly, because I think he can't say that publicly, but what I'm hearing, which is giving me so much hope, is that he may not be able to stop it. Conyers and others are saying, you know, Keith Olbermann did a great commentary on this, that whether it's torture, whatever. This is still America. It doesn't matter who's president. This is all about taking back our good name.
That's right.
Thank you. Ed Gillespie, former RNC chair. Yeah, they're not sure what to do now.
I do think, and I encourage my, you know, fellow Republicans and people who share my more conservative philosophy, that we not fall prey to trying to retaliate for the kind of viciousness and the kind of bitter attacks, personal attacks against President Bush that we saw from the left in the past 8 years. We can make a stand on principle, and we can oppose on policy without being, engaging in that kind of harsh, personal, nasty rhetoric. It's not good for the process. It's not good for the country.
Personal? No.
Yeah, because they weren't personal about Bill Clinton at all. No.
Well, the attacks...
If we could say it once, we could say it 100 times. The attacks on George Bush were his policies.
Policies, yes.
And there's almost nobody in the country that thinks this was a good president. So I'd say the criticism was well-founded.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. They were just nasty, personal attacks. Just about things like, I don't know, illegal war and illegal torture and illegal eavesdropping and whatever. Let's go to Shelley in Rockville, Maryland on Dick Cheney. Hello, Shelley.
Good morning, Stephanie and Chris.
Good morning. Go ahead.
I didn't hear anybody else point this out, but I was on the mall in the silver section, and when I saw Dick Cheney in his wheelchair, I thought immediately of Mr. Potter and It's a Wonderful Life.
I know. We have to have, in honor of that, Jim do his It's a Wonderful Life again tomorrow.
It's wonderful.
The whole world is becoming a Jim Ward sketch, isn't
yes.
it?
I think so.
Exactly.
There are a lot of new Photoshop funds in the Photoshop fun section with Cheney as Mr. Potter.
Jim just did Cheney as Potter in It's a Wonderful Life, our Stephanie Miller Show holiday classic.
That's right.
Dave in Chicago actually wrote about that. Was anyone else reminded of Capper's classic? Mr. Potter, Dick Cheney in the wheelchair, is vanquished while friends and family are cheering George Bailey holding his cute little daughter. By all pulling together, they solve their financial crisis.
Aw.
You see? All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with more right-wing worlds. Right-wing world? There's only one. Maybe we'll just keep doing it over and over like a record skipping.
Great.
Since we're so tired.
Yeah.
Our thoughts and yours, mostly yours, because you're probably more coherent than we are on the inauguration.
More what?
And everything else.
Coherent?
Hush, hush. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
May cause dizziness, sexual nightmares, and sleep crime.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Matt in L.A. on the Holder nomination, Eric Holder. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just cannot believe what inertia there is in the Republican Party. They never seem to learn from their mistakes and an election in which their asses were beaten so severely.
Oh, Matt, I'm gonna read later the most hilarious letter that the Boner sent out, John Boner, about how most Americans agree with them.
What?
They need to stand up to the Democrats on, I don't know, spending and
whatever.
I don't know. It's hilarious. Anyway.
They're completely delusional. And the latest thing I heard is that the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee are saying that they will not approve Holder unless he and Obama both promise not to prosecute any CIA agents who have waterboarded.
Yeah, before we put you in charge of law enforcement, promise that you won't actually enforce any laws about anything that's been illegal. How about that?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't we already, everybody sort of decide that approach to our laws and our Constitution, walking all over it, was something that we didn't want anymore?
Yeah.
I sense,
Matt, the moment that Eric Holder said unequivocally, waterboarding is torture,
yeah,
that there was a lot of spit takes in a lot of Bush administration offices. A lot of,
right.
Yeah.
Right. They all started shuddering.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Matt. Let's go to Samuel in Long Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on President Obama.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Hi, Sam.
Hey, look, this is what I say. I want them to get them for Iraq, for going in there building pipelines, building super bases, and all that stuff. You know, all the reasons they did, then all that money, get the money back, prosecute them for everything, but do it in such a way Obama can step back, run the country, you know, solve these problems, and like you say, Conyers, whoever, let them do it, and do it in such a way that he can keep his promise to keep peace.
I mean, Sam, seriously, look at the first day. And by the way, I mean, according to a lot of, independent sources, this was pretty stunning what he did on day one. This isn't just about Obama fans going, oh, look, I mean, this wasn't ceremonial. A lot of the stuff that he enacted on day one, I think, you know, it shows he is moving forward with the business of the country. But I think you're right. As a country, we absolutely need to stand up for who we are and take our own name back. And I agree, he shouldn't spend most of his time on that.
No.
But
let other people do it.
Go John Conyers. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
There's a reason you're patron saint of the Stephanie Miller
Absolutely.
Show. Absolutely. That's up for renewal every year, Mr. Conyers. All right. Patty in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Obama as well. Hi, Patty.
Hi. First off, I want a karate glove.
Me too. I just said that to Chris during the break.
You know, most people
a karate glove.
Most people don't hear those PSAs, though, so they have no idea what we're talking about.
I don't even know what a karate glove is, but we both want one, me and Patty.
I usually listen to the podcast, so I never hear that kind of thing. But anyway, doesn't just saying President Obama, doesn't it just kind of make you smile
yes.
and just sort of go,
oh. I know. I'm sure that'll wear off after a little bit, but I know. I couldn't say it enough.
I hope not. I also sent you email of a proclamation he made making it a day of renewal and reconciliation. I mean, who does that? Who thinks that way? It is just, it made me cry.
You know who does, Patty? President Obama.
Oh, yes. I can't get sappy enough.
All right. We're walking on sunshine. Huh. That's almost like a theme song. 28 minutes after the hour. Right back. You may get a diabetic coma from this show. I'll settle down. Don't worry. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I also want to thank you for controlling yourself sexually while we spend time together on this adventure.
Now you tell me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton on the TV. Christopher, may I go on record as saying I think she will be an excellent Secretary of State?
Sure. You just went on record. Would you like to listen to a little bit of her?
Yes.
All right.
Ability, commitment, and collaboration. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to work.
Yay!
Thank you.
Well,
you.
Just in time for the
okay.
end.
Okay. That's all we need to know. We're getting to work. Okay. We're dusting ourselves off. We're picking ourselves up, and we're getting to work.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Yes, we did. Mm. All right. Kathy in Illinois on Cheney in a wheelchair. Hello, Kathy.
Oh, yes. When I heard that Cheney was in a wheelchair, I was so positive that the next day we would see Bush in a neck brace. And that would be the biggest pity party for the both of them, you know. I just had to call with that. And congratulations to every single Democrat.
Yoo-hoo! Thank you. We're still, you know what? It's still party time. I don't care. It's the rest of the week. It's fine. And then we'll dust ourselves off. I'm still drinking. Sue in Rockville, Maryland, who we saw at the Obama Radio Nation event in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Hello, Sue.
Hello. It was so good to see you guys. You know you were the hit of the show.
Oh, thank you, honey. And I missed, you didn't bring the baby because you left the baby in the bar.
Look at you. You have a baby. In a bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's her favorite place because it's Meemaw's favorite
Babies
place.
Babies love Harvey Wallbangers.
Because it's Meemaw's favorite place.
Here's my question, and I'm not a lawyer. I only pretend to be one.
Uh-huh.
If Eric Holder needs to say to Arlen Specter, are you asking me to abet a crime, and are you also wanting to commit a crime? Because if you know of a crime and you deliberately inform people or prosecute it, aren't you also culpable?
Yep. You know what? Sue, I was catching up on my Newsweeks on the plane from, a year ago. Anyway, but there was that great, you know, it was obviously a few weeks ago, but about the whistleblower in justice, and there was a lot of them. You know, there were a lot of this one, particularly on the warrantless wiretapping, and he's still got to be worried whether he'll get prosecuted. Do you know what I mean? Like, Bush was the one that was like, oh, that's the crime, is leaking that information, the fact that the Bush administration is breaking the law.
And last night, Keith Olbermann had a whistleblower on the NSA because it turns out they were spying on journalists and they were spying on all of us all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, even in the Bush administration, clearly there were a lot of people of conscience going, this isn't right. This isn't, you know, this is not legal.
So how could Holder possibly say, yes, I will allow that? Or what Holder needs to say is, I'm going to answer the questions exactly the way you asked Alberto Gonzalez and Daisy. How we
did you see one of our listeners wrote their all our fantasies coming true now that when Roberts flubbed the oath and Obama stopped it, I will faithfully execute. And then we hope that the end would be Bush and Cheney for war crimes.
Yeah.
But it was not to be. That particular fantasy, unfortunately.
No. That dream died.
Girl can dream. There was time for a thought bubble there. Oh, heavens. Glenn Beck on the TV. Is he on the Fox TV now?
Yeah, he comes on before Brett Baer now.
Oh, the
brr-brr. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. A lot of clear thinkers there now.
Up in Canada, apparently this is breaking news that they wanted to run this during the inauguration of who do you think the worst president is in the history of America? Quick, who do you think it was, Michelle? Yeah. Believe it or not. John Kennedy. No, look, I'm kidding you. George W. Bush, isn't that weird?
Huh. Isn't that weird? Because that's what most people in America think,
yeah,
too. And most historians and most people in the world, actually. Why does it, is that what right-wing humor? It's like because they chuckle, so that's how your indication that that's funny?
I guess. It's like they their own little laugh track or something.
John Kennedy. I'm kidding you. And I'm chuckling, so that's why, you know.
Yeah, Michelle Malkin didn't think that was too funny for some reason.
Okay. Ripper. Speaking of Ripper. On the Ripper show.
Ripper.
This is becoming the new Bark Park.
Yeah.
Bark Park.
Ripper.
He has some thoughts on Obama.
Some constitutional lawyers say President Obama should retake the oath of office. Chief Justice John Roberts flubbed it Tuesday, misplacing the word faithfully, at which point the president-elect then paused. Roberts then corrected himself, but Mr. Obama repeated the words as Roberts initially said them. A Boston University constitutional scholar tells the San Francisco Chronicle a do-over would, quote, take him 30 seconds. He ought to do it just to be safe.
Uh-oh.
George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley says if the president does not correct the mistake, quote, there are going to be people who for the next 4 years are going to argue that he didn't meet the constitutional standard.
What the fox? Now that blows the Fox's whole story.
Yeah.
That's it. Now they're scrambling again. This morning in the Fox story room, they're like, what?
What do we do now?
What the? Is he really president? Is he? Okay. All right. Well, that one's gone now.
Yeah.
God. All right. Fred Barnes on the Burr Show.
Burr. Mm-hmm.
Iraq is important, and I hope the president realizes that he doesn't have to stick to this 16-month timetable. Mm. All our troops are going to be out by the end of 2011, and incredible progress has been made, hadn't got much attention by the military over there, even in ways that don't involve combat, and that is turning over the Green Zone to, Brett, you've been to the Green Zone, you know, that was the nerve center of everything, the military, the Iraqi government, the American embassy and everything, for years and years, and now Iraqi soldiers, it's been completely turned over. Oh. So there's been huge progress.
Yes.
You don't need any artificial deadline other than the one negotiated with the Iraqis.
Oh, yeah. I can't hear enough of that. I miss it already, don't you?
Making progress.
Yeah.
Hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Stay the course.
Oh, miss it.
The Iraqis want us out sooner than the 60-month...
Exactly. So, if we're going with their plan.
Yeah. So Fred Barnes just kind of shot himself in the foot there.
Oh, boy. You know what? It is ironic, once again, that that's where all the clear thinkers go, is the show. Who is it? Who articulates the right-wing talking points almost better than Berhume? Okay. I'm sorry. We apologize for today's show.
Yeah.
We are so tired from this week.
This is not going to the Museum of Broadcasting.
We got literally an hour of sleep. Okay. Tweety in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. I hope you guys get some rest.
Thank you.
Really take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You
Does
know?
It sound like we need it?
Can you believe that you're taking precious time from your life to listen to grown adults go... Burr, burr,
burr, burr, burr. No, you guys are great. You guys are
Thank
wonderful. You.
You
bring light to people's lives. I really appreciate
you. In the immortal words of Britt Hume, we just want to say thank you and also...
I wanted to comment on Dick Cheney, the way they're putting out that he hurt his back. I really think what it is that his state of health has gotten so decrepit that he needs a wheelchair.
Well, that's what someone was saying. They think it's end-stage heart disease. Is anyone really buying he's moving his own boxes?
No, he's not the type of person that he would have somebody do it for him. He's not that type.
Well, the other speculation was it was from trying to shove his daughter back into the closet.
That's a good one, too.
So that
I
could
like
also,
that one.
We don't know that. All right. Thank you, honey. I don't know. Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, ¿qué tal? Adios mío. It's good to be back home.
Hi, Los Angeles. Muy buenos nachos.
We're down a mook.
Oh, I know. Mamacita y el mookie.
El mookie, yes.
Uy, gooey nachos. First of all, somebody sent me a photograph of you, Mamacita, as you were walking across the mall.
I didn't do it. Oh.
No. Uh-huh. It was just you walking across the wall. So I wanted to find out, where on earth did you get those very sexy fishnet stocking thermals?
it's where everybody in L.A. shops for fishnet thermals.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was nice. And also, regarding this big hoopla over the John Roberts flubbing the oath, well, you didn't get to see any of the right-wing pundits last night, right?
No.
No. Well, here's what happened. They made him... Obviously, you heard that they made him do it again. They made him recite it again
yes.
in the Oval Office. Barack
yes.
Obama had to recite it again in the Oval
Let
Office.
Let me guess, they're saying it wasn't on a Bible, so this doesn't count.
Close, but no cigar. No, mm-hmm. What they're doing today, this morning, is they're bitching and moaning because John Roberts forgot to say, Simon Says.
Oh, see how that's funny? Because that's that is funny.
Although the news media is bitching this morning that it wasn't done in front of their cameras, that it was done in private. And so what happened to this air of openness that he promised? Saw a little bit of that this morning.
For the love of God.
I know.
Our infrastructure has rotted. We are in a depression.
I know.
And two wars. on behalf of all of us, STF. I don't know how to say that. I forgot. I haven't texted.
STFU.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. I got it right.
Yes.
All right. 42 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Right Wing World and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Never in the history of the world have the merchants of obscenity had available to them the modern facilities for disseminating this filth.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Joyce in San Francisco on President Obama. Hello, Joyce.
Hi. Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
You know, I just haven't heard anybody mention anything about the thing that Dianne Feinstein did when she was interviewing, when she was introducing Obama. She introduced him as Barack H. Obama, like she stumbled over the middle name and didn't want to say it.
Oh.
No, some people were using H, some people were using the full name yesterday, or Tuesday. It was no big deal.
Or some Democrats are watching Fox News too much.
No, I don't think that's the case.
All right, Joyce, thank you, honey. Let's go to Chris in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show about the oath as well. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Steph. I just want to make a couple of points about this oath of office controversy. If a lot of those people want to start playing the game of literalness on this whole thing, they should keep in mind that adding the name to the oath, it would also violate this literalness view that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And the oath also does not include so help me God.
Exactly.
So they should say, I fill in the blank?
No, they should just say, I do solemnly swear.
Right.
Oh,
never
I see.
Put in the name.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. And
otherwise, he'd have to say, I, George Washington. They just
right,
have to
exactly.
go with the first one.
Under their own standard, no president has ever been lawfully sworn in.
Yeah.
That is true.
It's so ridiculous with it. No, seriously, the problems we're facing, this is just sort of hilarious. This
is
a whole news cycle.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But the oath in the Constitution does not contain the word, so help me God. That gets put in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gay in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, honey.
Every time I get to hear President Obama, my eyes are rolling back in my head.
Really?
Oh, wonderful. Exactly. I find myself in the store dancing with people, complete strangers, high-fiving people. It's just such a wonderful feeling here.
Yeah. Well, everywhere. You know, that's the thing. It's just I was in D.C., but it was going on all over the country, I think. There was a great story on the mall. A black man, when the moment Obama was sworn in on the mall, like raised his fist, you know, the black power. But then he raised both fists, and a white guy came over to him and said, "Welcome to the new America," and they had a big hug.
Oh yeah,
you know, it just
complete strangers when he took his oath, black white. We were just all crying, and it was just wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, honey, that'll all be over by next week.
Yeah.
It is really unbelievable. I don't know what the Republicans are left with, but seriously, when you've got Rush Limbaugh just coming out and saying, "I hope he fails," we're all in this together. I mean,
mm-hmm.
even whether you like him or not, right? I mean,
everybody's president.
What American wants him to fail?
Yeah.
Rush, why do you hate America so much?
He's always hated America.
It's about time we can turn that around, isn't it?
Yeah, he's never wanted the best for America. He's only wanted the best for himself and the Republicans.
All right. Well, he's out of step. A new poll shows by a 3-1 margin the American people feel more optimistic about the country's future now that Barack Obama is president. Didn't I say that?
Mm-hmm.
It may be misplaced. We just feel better. I mean, seriously, the first picture of him on the phone in the Oval Office, you're like, oh, thank God he's talking into the right end of the phone. He's, you know what I mean? 53% of those surveyed said they felt more optimistic. Just 15%, those would be the Rush listeners, said his ascendancy to the White House made them feel more pessimistic.
Mm.
And it was hard to probably even get that 15% because they were talking through their hoods when the...
Yeah.
Huh? Okay. That was a racist talking through his hood.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, Riley.
How do we cover the new Obama administration?
How do you?
Good question, and I have a clear answer. I am going to become Paul Revere. Right now, you're in danger. Your family's in danger.
Oh,
your
God.
Is in danger.
What?
The economy's awful.
Oh, what? Oh. President Obama has wrecked the economy already.
Yeah.
Did I tell you this was going to be coming up on what the Fox? Did I tell you this? He's been in office for a minute, and now, you see, thank God Bill O'Reilly warning us that the economy's in trouble. You see what Barack Obama did? You see what he did?
You know, O'Reilly claims to be this independent guy. Why wasn't he Paul Revere when Bush was putting us through hell for the last 8 years?
Well, I asked Howard Kurtz this the other day. He was on yesterday with us. And I said, look, because this is going to be the big theme. Oh, is the press going too easy on Obama? Well, first of all, how do you report on the inauguration? How do you report on 2 million rapturous people in the National Mall? How do you... I mean... You're reporting, you look at these polls, That's the news story. I mean, you can't. How are you? They make it sound like you have to be beating up on Obama to be reporting the news properly.
Yeah.
These first few things he's done, I mean, people on both sides have been like, wow. I mean, the stuff that he's done already shows that he really is not all talk. So what? How do you report on that? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Bill O'Reilly.
Far-left zealots want to destroy America so they can rebuild it as a socialistic paradise, a hyper-Sweden.
What?
Those people are dangerous, and we'll watch them closely.
Oh.
The media is flat-out corrupt and will not bring a skeptical eye to President Obama because many press want the Sweden scenario and will spin and deceive to get it.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's what we want. I want to be a hyper-Sweden, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there.
Yeah, there. Hey, there.
IKEA's on every corner. A Volvo in every garage.
Parfenugen for everybody.
No, that's German.
Oh. Lufa and Lefse for everybody.
Yes, okay. There you go. Pickled herring for everybody.
Hyper-Sweden?
Yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
I don't know.
Okay, Bill O'Reilly. I don't know why I'm guessing that the whole, closing Gitmo and the
whatever,
bringing back of, legality.
Yeah.
To our government that in the war on terror, that he doesn't like.
And I didn't like the line in the speech, and I didn't nitpick it last night because I wanted to think about it for 24 hours. About we don't have to compromise our values to protect ourselves. I think sometimes we do.
Huh?
I think sometimes we have to be realistic and do things that aren't Army Field Manual polite. We can't give the lazy boys to the captured terrorists. We can't give them
Nobody's
the iced tea
that.
And the wind chimes.
Nobody's
sometimes. And I think that that was oversimplifying. And that was kind of a cheap shot at the Bush administration, which was successful, number one, protecting us. And number two, really damaging al-Qaeda.
Because that was, actually, if you've read the actual executive orders, because it says we must immediately give lazy boys and wind chimes to the terrorists. That's exactly what it says. So
yep.
Bill O'Reilly's got us there. That's part of my hyper-Sweden plan.
What
the? Okay. Oh, we do have to compromise our values. I see.
Yeah,
we do have to compromise our ideals.
Yeah.
We need to stop being America, which is, exactly what the terrorists want us to do. Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised you didn't say IKEA recliners, because those are Swedish. Lazy Boys are not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow, that Hannity's bagging those big bookends, isn't he, of people on all ends of the political spectrum. If you feared that there would not be balance with the departure of Alan Combs, never fear, he was able to book Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, boy.
So you could have both sides of the lunatic right there.
When I see the media and the entire establishment on the left lay down and become cult-like, and not examine who he is, what he's done, and not really examine what he says, but just praise him because of how he says it, my antenna go up.
Yeah, he didn't just say it. He did it now.
Yeah.
He did it. He signed it. It's in writing.
Rush Limbaugh has antenna? Is he like Uncle Martin from My Favorite Martian?
All right, that concludes this. What will, I'm sure, be a long string of vomitous right-wing worlds as the Obama administration continues. Don in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on President
Obama. Well, actually visiting Chicago from L.A.
Okay.
But on Tuesday in the Chicago Tribune, the conservative paper on page 3, the headline, English language freed. America expects mangled dialect to make full recovery. As of today, no longer will you watch your president improvise his way toward coherence.
Yeah.
No longer will you listen in suspense while the leader of the free world manhandles Mother English into a balloon animal.
There you go. Yeah, have you seen that, America, the message to the world from America, the apology for our outage of service democracy from 2000 to... Yeah, it is.
That's funny!
Brad in Los Angeles on Hannity, on Hannity's Pile of Hannity show or whatever it is now. Hello, Brad!
Good morning, Mama. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Got a couple of quick things. Number one, I saw Hannity. I listened to Hannity on the radio after the inauguration speech, and he had Ann Coulter on.
Oh, that was uplifting, I bet.
And what was funny was Hannity was talking about how lousy the speech was, and Coulter actually said, well, she thought it was a pretty good speech. While she didn't agree with some of the points, she thought he delivered a good speech. I thought Hannity was going to have apoplexy because Coulter dared to disagree with him as to how good this or bad the speech was.
Yeah, well, she agrees with most Americans it was a good speech. Oh, well, poor Sean.
It was a good speech, wasn't his best speech.
Sean and Rush, the little stragglers.
Yeah.
of the Yes We Can era. 57 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Festive Friday Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, what a big show. It may explode.
Yes.
CNN reporter extraordinaire, Candy Crowley, who I told in person at CNN that I worship her like the news goddess that she is. I'm the biggest suck-up ever in the world.
How did she feel about that? Yeah, what did she say?
She's coming on the show, isn't she?
All right, I guess
it worked. John Fugel sang, our buddy, our pal, comedian extraordinaire, live in the studio. And Fridays with Frangela.
Hooray!
In hour number three. And more importantly, Jim Ward is home.
Yes.
He's home. He's home.
Because I was in Charlotte. Shanique wasn't even too pleased. Charlotte.
Who's Charlotte?
It's a girl's name. And,
Hi, Jim.
How was Charlotte?
Well.
What now? We would never say the airline that you were flying that did not get you home safely in time.
No.
But was it a U.S. airway?
It sounded like U.S. Schmairways, actually.
Uh-huh.
Okay. For that. Our flight to Charlotte.
From Washington to Charlotte. Uh-huh.
Was late. And we're just about to throw in the towel when the plane shows up.
Great.
Oh, so
yay.
Our luggage goes on board. We go on board, and we're thinking, because we just, the other plane was also delayed, so I figured we might just make it. There'd be a window, and half the plane is going to go on that connecting flight, too. No.
Oh.
It'd have taken off by the time we get there. So we go to the U.S. Schmairways Special Services Desk.
Again, we would
called.
Never mention the name of the airway.
No.
It's just we're saying it's a U.S. airway.
Yes. Yeah. It's located in the United States somewhere.
Yes, and it is, in fact, an airway.
But apparently these people had never encountered the situation before where a plane and the connecting flight sort
this
of missed
new.
Each other. What? You missed your plow.
Huh.
Why did you miss your plane?
I wonder what happens now.
Oh, and now you expect to get vouchers for food and a hotel? Yeah, the next flight leaves tomorrow. But, yeah, what? And so finally we got a voucher for a certain lodge.
Yes.
Which is economical.
Yes.
oh, no.
And so our driver said,
you know when Econo is in the title.
Yeah. The Econo Lodge, they ain't always the best. You know, this used to be a Fairfield, though, and I think it's going to... Oh, by the way, if you're going to go get some food, don't look behind you. Just run.
Oh, wasn't the best part of town,
run, huh?
Just run.
Okay.
Wow.
So we stayed inside the...
Yeah,
economy.
So you were on lockdown.
And the first room they showed us, room 3 or 4, I'm thinking the cab driver should have warned us about it. Stay out of room 3 or 4 with a devil in there. Because I thought it was in The Shining.
Yes.
Because I opened the door and this ungodly stench comes out. I said, oh, jeez. I thought this was an old smoking room. It turns out it was much more than the smoke. There was extensive water damage in the room and probably mold in the walls
yeah.
and the floors.
And a naked lady getting out of the bathtub.
Exactly. I
yes.
expected to get a naked
and you know what else
lady
I think?
Coming out of the bathtub.
The entity and maybe Barbara Hershey's original lips.
Yeah,
I think,
exactly.
In that room.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, we finally get a decent room. But we're downstairs rearranging this. And there's a Sarah Palin lookalike. She's a flight attendant. And she kept on talking. She didn't stop talking the whole time. She kept on talking. I think she must have been on speed or something. So she stayed away for a flight. And I told her about my car fixed. Well, I got my car fixed. And
what's with the people with the most annoying voices talk the most?
All the time. And she used to clap and laugh at herself and congratulate herself on her jokes. And
then
the next morning when we come downstairs, she's still there.
No!
And still talking. Her eyes were all bloodshot. And it's, oh, my God, it's Donna the Stewart is dead. We were thinking maybe she had like
she's
a 1 hour
telling the
flight.
Same story. Yeah. She didn't notice anyone left.
I told you about the car that I fixed. Well, I got the car fixed. And there, and my keys are down there in the box. So if you need the car, I got it fixed.
I worked with a woman like that in my earlier career as a cocktail waitress.
In a kimono.
Yeah, when I worked in a Universal Studios, a Fung Lum restaurant, I was a cocktail waitress, and I had to wear a polyester kimono.
Yeah, well, not a kimono.
Which I eventually
that kimono
grew.
Kimono is Japanese. It's a Chinese.
I eventually grew too fat from eating goldfish crackers off the bar, cursing my life.
Yes.
I did a lot of cursing my life in Universal, too, when I was a tour guide.
Anyway, Kathy, the career cocktail waitress, she was like that. It was made the job even more delightful. She would, every time someone would order an Absolut vodka, she'd go, absolutely, positively, that's how you remember it. Absolutely, I'm like,
God. Wow.
Was she killed in a tragic fryer accident?
Yeah, air travel, wow, it is delightful, isn't it, these days? You know, Jim, I flew an airline, and I would never say the name either, except that it sounds like Poonited.
Mm-hmm.
And I got bumped, because this was like a once, you know me, I'm cheap as the day is long.
Yes.
But this was the one time I sprang for first class. I'm like, okay, this is like once in a lifetime, I'm going to the inauguration, this is a big... Anyway, I got bumped into coach, and I said, well, what... But. And they said, oh, you get a $150 certificate coupon.
You paid a lot more than that for first
what?
Class.
Yeah. The lady said, oh, well, oh, sorry. Because I got bumped down. You got bumped up, by
I got
the way.
Bumped up the first class.
I got bumped down. And I paid. I was like, what?
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
No, we were jammed in like sardines both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand Charlotte's a beautiful town. And I wish I'd seen the beautiful parts. But we were not.
That's funny. I have a related story about Charlotte. I called my 86-year-old Republican mother yesterday to wish her a happy birthday.
Oh.
Because my mommy turned 86 yesterday, and I thought we'd have a delightful mother-daughter.
No.
I don't really want to go into it. Needless to say, it was... It got into politics and it was...
And screaming and...
Wow, yeah. Here's something I didn't realize. My mom is a complete Fox News Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity talking point.
Yeah.
And I think it started... Oh, here's the bad thing is that apparently sometimes I'm on television and that's...
Computer says no.
And so...
That doesn't sit well with your mother?
No.
Oh, no.
Although she and her whole bridge club watch me on Dr. Phil.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about breastfeeding.
Yes. Oh, which, by the way, I found something else out yesterday. She didn't breastfeed me.
Of course not. She's Republican. Republicans don't breastfeed.
She breastfed both of my sisters, and apparently she was too old and decrepit for my brother and I, and couldn't, and that explains a lot.
Puffs of dust.
Be like if I tried to have a kid now.
Yeah. You get nothing.
Has some Crypt Keeper breath. There might be some milk particles in there.
Powdered milk.
Have some powdered milk. Put your own moisture on it. Stop it.
Just add water.
Jim, you missed yesterday's show, which I think is probably wise, because Chris and I were so tired that we spent the entire show pretty much saying Britt-Burr.
Britt-Burr.
Britt-Burr show.
Britt-Burr.
It's the new Britt-Burr.
Britt-Burr.
You only missed a day, but it's the new Britt-Burr.
Britt-Burr. And we're doing it again today, obviously.
It's contagious. We're by the end of the show, it's going to be
like a Riley show.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, what was my point? Talking to my... you don't even want to know. I guess I made a joke at the Obama Radio Nation. It was on C-SPAN.
Yes.
Oh, about Obama's train trip into Washington. And I said, what was the joke? I said something about, and meanwhile, we rode George W. Bush out of town on a rail.
Yes.
See, that was a little... And she brought that up. She said, oh, Steffi, I thought that was awful. And then we got into quite a heated discussion.
She would have loved the effigy of George W. Bush.
Yeah, I told her because I said, how Washington was, and I said, well, the whole thing, and we saw George Bush leaving, and everybody was cheering. She was like, oh, that is awful.
What did she expect?
I think history will show he will be one of the best presidents we've ever.
Wow.
And I said, really, Mom, well, I think he's a war criminal. And she goes, this is what she said. Oh, Steffi, you've gotten really quite radical.
Radical?
Got very heated. It was. Yes.
Your own mother called you a radical.
I know. And I said, well, what is Colin Powell? John Dean is... Oh, well, John Dean's been discredited in a lot of places. I'm like, where? Fox News?
Yeah, exactly. That's the answer to everything.
About what my dad would have thought.
Oh, it's been discredited. Yeah, by whom?
Wow.
I heard one young Republican twit in DuPont Circle saying, well, see, how do they expect me to respect Obama when they're showing such disrespect to the president with the shoes throwing at the...
You found a Republican in DuPont Circle?
Wow.
Yes, I know.
That's like a Sasquatch sighting.
I know. He was there, too. But in fact, I think he was in the effigy suit. They need somebody really tall.
Yeah.
But I wanted to say, yeah, well, the new guy isn't a complete effing moron, you twit. But I didn't.
You held your tongue.
Let it go.
Wow, that is quite a lot of restraint for you. I wish I'd shown the same restraint to my mother. I don't know what happened. I tried.
I tried it. I just...
No, don't speak. Don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Silence. Don't speak.
Oh, dear. And then afterwards, she was like, oh, well, Steffi, we can air our differences. Perhaps we just needed to vent. I think she's probably holding that in from watching C-SPAN. She was like ready to explode by the time I called. Happy birthday, Mom. Oh, I'm glad you called.
I need to vent.
You radical. You remember at Christmas, she told me my dead father would be disappointed in me, which is...
And that's the last thing you want to hear.
What you want to hear on Christmas morning, which was... that was magical. She said that was taken out of context, and that's not exactly what she said. Mm. She went on to say she's very proud of me.
Okay.
Considering you're a radical.
Yes. Yeah. Considering what I've turned out to be.
In whom your father is disappointed. Yes.
What did she think about your other sisters who have turned into Democrats?
That's what I said. And she goes, oh, don't quote them to me. They have no credibility.
They have no credibility?
That's what she said.
They campaigned for your father.
I was like, what about, okay, we were talking about what my dad and Goldwater would have thought. Because it's true, it's not fair. He's been gone almost 30 years. No one knows what he would think. I'm just going off what he stood for and what Goldwater stood for when he was alive.
I suspect your dad wouldn't like today's Republican Party.
That's what I say. Anyway. All right. I'm like, Mom, I'm entitled to an opinion.
Your
but
sisters have been discredited.
I knew him a lot better than you did, Steffi. All right. Which is true. That's true. But anyway, yeah, there's been everybody was discredited. Anyone that's ever been discredited on Fox News.
Okay.
I'm not sure if Sean Hannity has mentioned my sisters by name, but apparently
they've been discredited.
Them and Colin Powell and
John
Julie
Dean.
Nixon Eisenhower and John Dean and Ron Reagan and CeCe Goldwater. Everybody's they're all idiots except for whoever.
Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, she defended Rush Limbaugh
to me,
too.
Of course.
I said, you heard it. He said he hopes Obama fails. Right. Oh, now, Steffi, I saw him on TV. I know what she means, the Hannity show.
Sean Hannity,
And he didn't. That was taken out of context, too. He didn't. That's not what he...
No. Was not taken out of context. He said...
I had literally an hour of right-wing world with my mother on her birthday yesterday. It was really... Oh, I'll have to call her and tell her I love her today. Okay. Meanwhile, Julie in Seattle has sent one for a squeezy. She says she's happy you're home, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Jim and Mama, I figured I'd let Squeezy know immediately about Lily Allen. Is she some sort of actress?
No, she's a singer.
Oh, singer. Yes.
Yes.
Lily's work with lesbian blonde surf nymphs from San Diego.
Hello.
Apparently some very important news. Lily Allen said she has she supports gay equality and admitted she once kissed identical twins in San Diego.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there video?
It doesn't say, or I don't see a click-through. Recalling her experience in America, she added, I did once snog these identical twins in San Diego. I was on the sofa, and I had them both, and I was dancing and shoving my arse on one of them. That's the only time, but I do have dreams, lesbian dreams, quite a lot.
Nice.
Julie wanted you to be apprised of that story, Squeezy. Mm-hmm.
Lily Allen's a drinker. She's a partier. I'm not surprised that she's had lesbianic experiences or whatever.
Oh, heavens.
Yeah.
You don't have to be drunk to make out with identical twins in San Diego, do you, Jim? That's what you do normally for vacation.
Oh.
Lily Allen is kind of like Amy Winehouse, but better dressed.
Yes. And
okay.
Yeah, and less...
Not as sickly looking.
And with all of her teeth.
She's recently. Unlike,
yes.
All right. Hey, we spent up too much time talking. We're going to have to do Tinsel Talk when we return. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with Tinsel Talk, Candy Crowley, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's positively delightful.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we? Here we go.
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. And news breaks here at Stays Broken. Our top story, the bold-faced names were not always on their best behavior before and after the inauguration. Jessica Alba called Bill O'Reilly kind of a hole.
That's funny.
Kind of.
At Sunday night's Declare Yourself Party. That's my personal favorite part of the story. We have, I believe we have Bill O'Reilly's thoughts on that.
If there's one thing we've been consistent about here in the fact here, it's our dedication to exposing the pernicious, destructive, socialistic hideousness of the anti mixed with the morals of an alley cat on Spanish Fly. What?
Huh?
Sorry,
what?
Missed a word there.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, with the morals of an alley cat on Spanish Fly, I've continually besmirched the virtue of this great country and slandered its great leaders since the entire slop bucket that is Hollywood came into existence 100 years ago, due to the evil machinations of those New York sorts. You know, the ones who dominate banking and eat little Catholic boys for dinner on Saturday night. The ones that killed Jesus. I think we're clear on who I'm talking about. Now the corruption spreads to a new generation. It was recently reported that Jessica Alba, who normally is a tasty exemplar of tender horse flesh, would be eligible for adornment by yours truly with any number of fried chickpea treats, as well as a thorough rub, as well as a thorough rub down with a loofah of love on every square inch of her firm, silken female geography, besmirched her moist, yielding lips with the expression a-hole. Now, if there is ever an indication that this female pantaloon moonbat was a few pita breads short of a shawarma plate, it's this. She was talking about me. Now, Jessica, you do not get to experience the delights of my caresses, aided by the abrasive remains of sea creatures. I would never sully the purity of my telephonic affection by ballooning with such a wackadoo out of the mainstream, communistic, Marxist perverter of basic American values as this Mao-worshipping she-devil slut. I can get it anywhere, so who needs her? No, really, I can't. Shut up! Shut up! I do it live! Live, you hear me? Live! Ah, hell, effing thing sucks!
Oh, dear. And finally, Vern Troyer has revealed that he had lived out most men's fantasies by having a five-in-bed orgy with Playboy bunnies.
Oh.
The Mini-Me star said he and a pal participated
in the
all-night marathon with three women in 2005 at porn mogul Hugh Hefner's Playboy mansion in Hollywood Hills. I believe we have Vern's thoughts.
Hooterman! You're looking at him, Holmes. I got me some multiple booty at the hips. Here's he, yo. High five! Okay, low five. Yeah, not quite low enough, but it's all good. I just headbutt your kneecap. Oh, that's going to leave a mark. Oh, yeah, that was a wild night, man. That girlfriend lifted me on the bed, and we got it on with three Playboy bunnies. Yeah. Well, okay, at first he was just watching them getting on, but that was hot. Really got us in the mood, if you know what I mean. Working out the mechanics of it all is a bit of a challenge. You know, I try to climb on top of a girl, and I'd slide right off. Should have gone easy on the Crisco, I guess.
Oh, no.
So then we rigged up this swing contraption so I could fly me in for some Cirque du Soleil-style nookie, but I kept overshooting the target. Don't get me wrong. I got plenty of inches where it counts, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no.
By which I mean they just greased me up and slid my whole naked body in there. I nearly drowned, but it's so worth it. Hooterman, it's me. Yeah, yeah, baby, yeah. Ah!
Oh, dear.
Why did you send me that story? That's unwise.
That's one of the things that will redeem me in my mother's eyes.
Yeah.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward. Follow the roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True, which you can reach through the banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, which would be stephaniemiller.com.
Thank you.
That's the second day in a row we've had a Vern Troyer sex story.
It's the news and we must report it. Speaking of news, I'm guessing that's the kind of news Candy Crowley does not report.
No.
Being a very highbrow reporter for CNN.
Is she still going to come on the show now?
Don't know. If she's on hold, no.
Computer says no.
Yeah. One can only hope she doesn't listen. 28 minutes after the hour, CNN's Candy Crowley is back on the Big Week in Washington next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's a liar. She's a dingbat. She is an attention strumpet.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You know, Chris, it's a good thing for me that some people are very susceptible to flattery.
Why?
Well, for instance, I ran into a news goddess, Candy Crowley, at CNN on Sunday and told her that I worshipped her like the news goddess she is. And so,
hey.
Why? Who is it, Chris?
It's CNN senior political correspondent, Candy Crowley.
Oh, dear.
Good morning, Candy Crowley.
Good morning.
You're either very nice or susceptible to flattery, either way.
Well, I tell you, this is the first time I've laughed at this hour of the morning in some time.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. Well, I mean, I know it can't be almost overstated, but what a week in D.C., huh?
It really was. It was kind of amazing. I mean, it usually with things that are big that you kind of lead up to in the news business, you think, oh, wow, we're going to go to China with Bill Clinton. This will be really cool. And you spend, you know, 2 weeks talking about it and reporting about it, and you get there and you think, okay, well, when are we going to go home? You know, because you're kind of bored with it.
Right.
And this really lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
It was something.
Well, you know, I was going to say, first of all, you have a cool job, right?
I do.
and
really, really cold this week.
Oh, I know. But I'm telling you, it was political geek heaven. When I walked into CNN on Sunday, I was like, oh, David Axelrod, oh, Candy Crowley, oh, T.D. Myers. That's the thing. I was talking to Howard Kurtz about this on the air. You know, of course, the big line now is, oh, the liberal media, they're going so easy on Obama. But how do you as a reporter report what happened in D.C. this week? I mean, you're reporting what's happening, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, sometimes in the campaign, people would say, oh, they're so easy on Barack Obama. This is particularly if you were a John McCain fan. And you know, you find that people come at you from where they are. So if they are pro-Obama, they tend to think that you like McCain. And if they are pro-McCain, they seem to think you like Obama. But when you get a happening like you had this week, there's no denying, you know.
Right.
A million and a half people showed up and were absolutely awesome in their numbers, incredible in their enthusiasm. And there's no way to not say, look, this is what it is. You may not have voted for him, but
right.
He has really changed the atmosphere.
Well, and Candy, I think it's not just what happened in D.C. You look at these approval ratings and these hopeful ratings around the country, right? I mean, what is it, 70-80% in most polls are hopeful, are optimistic, are his approval ratings certainly sky high.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? You're sort of reporting on the mood of the country in a way, aren't you?
Absolutely. And you know, and also, I think if you saw the news conference yesterday with Robert Gibbs, his first briefing actually at the White House, there's no free rides here for anybody that ends up in the White House. There's always a contact high, if you will, when history is happening. You know,
right.
There's just something about covering history. But in the end, the history's done now.
Right.
And now it's about what's this president going to do? I don't care if he made history. How's he going to make the future?
But, Candy, give me your impression as a reporter on what he has actually done. Because I have to say, as someone that comes from it, from a liberal Obama supporter perspective, even I was like, wow, he really means it. He just said it in his inaugural address and he's already done it. I mean, I'm thinking, I don't know if you ever saw, you know, before the election, people's fantasy, because, oh, Obama can never win, but these would be the fantasy headlines if he were elected. President Obama closes Gitmo. And I'm like, oh my God, they're the actual headlines now.
Remembering, though, that he's done the easy stuff now. These are executive orders. He can come in with a stroke of the pen and say, ta-da, remember I told you I did this? I've done that. And this was designed, obviously, to begin to try to restore the kind of trust that he's going to need from the American people when he tackles the stuff that's not going to be so easy.
Well, as a reporter, I thought one of the things that people on both sides commented on that was surprising was this, the freedom of information, when he said about doing our business in the daylight. I mean, that's pretty, he went pretty far, didn't he?
Well, you mean in terms of lobbyists or just in terms of openness in government?
Both of those, but yeah, I was talking about the freedom of information stuff.
Right, well, the The freedom of information, we'll see. I mean, that's a, you know, that's something that over time we'll see what exactly that means. I have to tell you that the White House correspondents noted that on the first day there were three closed meetings and a swearing in that in particular TV news was not allowed to be in. So they said, wait a minute, I thought this was going to be the most open government in history. A small matter. What we need is the information. So
right.
We'll see.
Right.
I mean, I just think that's not something that overnight changes.
Candy, there's a curiosity question. Why do you think they didn't televise the second swearing in?
If I had to guess, and honestly, this is the guess, I don't think they wanted to make it that big a deal. I think to them this was a detail.
Right.
They did let, you know, there were four people in there to witness it, and they had somebody with a tape recorder. I think it's partly that it wasn't, you know, that he was sworn in. Look, he was president at noon on the 20th, whether he was sworn in or not, by the way, because George
right.
Bush's term had ended.
Right.
But I think they really, this was kind of this little legal lawyer thing they wanted to do.
Right.
But they didn't want to make it this huge thing. And I think in part, Justice Roberts was embarrassed, and I'm not sure. I think that the president didn't want to embarrass him further. You saw when
right.
When the vice president made a joke
yes.
about it. President Obama was not amused at the time.
I know. Everybody else was. But
exactly. So I think he didn't want to stir it up.
I see. Yeah. I have to say, I think it was the first cave to Fox News, because that was their only story all day. Is that, was he really president? Is Hillary Clinton really Secretary of State? Has anything actually happened? Will he need to get into the DeLorean from Back to the Future and go back and... It's like, oh, boy. And now, sure enough, yesterday, Drudge is reporting, well, it wasn't on a Bible the second time, so it does...
Just, you know.
And meanwhile, we're like, we're in a depression and two wars. Can we move on, people?
Well, that and Michelle's dress were yes. my two favorite stories.
Yeah. What did you think of Michelle's dress?
Can I tell you something? Here's what I think of Michelle. In her wardrobe, I think she's a courageous woman
yep.
that wears what the heck she wants to wear, and I love that. Regardless, I don't care who hated the dress, loved the dress. It was what she wanted, what she felt good in, and I think she takes risks. I mean, it's hard to take risks in clothing. It would have been much easier at the inauguration to wear a little blue suit.
Right.
And it was much easier at the, you know, because those are safe choices, and I think it's, you know, that's where a little bit of fun and, you know,
right.
I think just as a female, it takes some courage to go out there in something new, because you know you're going to get blasted.
Right. Well, that's, I was going to say, I think, you know, normally, I think she's obviously a strong, beautiful woman, and I love her bold color choices and all that, and I thought the swearing-in dress was great, but I just, you know, we just said, in our personal opinion, the other one that was a parade float.
Oh.
But that's...
I didn't... Count me out. I didn't...
Not Jim, but we a little wedding cakey, but suddenly we're all Blackwell. As a reporter, what do you anticipate? What's coming up next week? What are the big stories? This week has already been chock full of huge stories, huh?
It has, but I think now, again, we're down to the tough stuff. I mean, I think at some point he'll do another executive order and lift the so-called Mexico City executive order that Ronald Reagan instituted, which wouldn't allow USA to go to international, private international centers who promote or perform abortions. I think he'll lift that, and that'll be... Mm-hmm. You know, a story, but look, it's the stimulus package.
Yeah.
It's the 800 and whatever billion
right.
dollars floating around up there, and they're trying to put it, you know, in a package. And I think that's going to be tough. And it started this week, and he's having bipartisan meetings. But honestly, when Democrats and Republicans have their own ideas, and this is where the balance of power begins to come into play. And I think it's the economy moving on out. Now, I do think on a separate track, you will have the Secretary of State Clinton out there beginning to, I think she'll take a trip fairly quickly,
mm-hmm.
Sort of a, you know, America has changed trip overseas. But I think he's going to be consumed by
yep.
the economy.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pantsuit rides again.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, Kenny. I'm not a reporter. I'm just a hope monger. But in my opinion, he's already he's a closed Gitmo. He's we're getting out of Iraq. He's solved the depression, and next week he'll probably part the Potomac and peace in the Middle East.
Yes.
Shall,
okay,
but...
I don't want to throw a damper on you, but it's easy to sign the closed Gitmo. It's a lot harder to do it because you have to figure out what to do with those people, and ending the war in Iraq is also not as simple because obviously he could have military commanders come back and say, if you pull out now, the following 12 horrible things will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, stuff changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into the political, like, okay, I got to tell you folks, I know I told you I'd do this. It's proving, you know, so there's, it's you know, signing an executive order or telling your military commanders to do something is different from doing it.
Yeah.
You know, reporter's job basically is just kind of to harsh all our buzz, isn't it? When you think about it, Candy, it's your job to kind of be a big party buster.
Oh, no, reality's overrated.
I should have let you have this week.
Okay?
And by the way, I have an excellent idea what to do with the Gitmo prisoners. There's this big ranch in Crawford that needs a lot of brush cleared. Has tons of room.
Problem.
Candy Crowley, news goddess from CNN. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks, Debbie.
All right. Bye-bye. There she goes. Yay! Candy Crowley.
I think Bush is going to need some gardeners at his new house, too. I think all the Gitmo detainees should go there and, work on his house. I think that'd be great. Mm-hmm.
43 minutes after the hour, back with the Celebrity Stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I don't get it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Latron in Tucson on Dr. Phil. That's up in the StephanieMiller.com. What section is it?
Blogs section.
In the YouTube thing.
Yes.
Okay, Latron, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
It wasn't the Dr. Phil you were on, Steph. It was the Dr. Phil yesterday from which Coltergeist was on, spewing all her normal Coltergeist things.
Oof.
And... poor Alan Combs. I know he looked like he had the 1,000-yard scare, the poor guy, because I know anybody that has to sit in the room with Hannity that long, you know, you're pretty much going to get the 1,000-yard stare. But her rhetoric was just, I mean, it made me so mad. I don't watch Fox News because I kind of let you guys report it to us.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, I mean, but after I got done looking at that, it's like I had this feeling in the pit of my stomach like I wanted to throw up in my mouth. It was just, it was that bad. She goes on to blame. She says that Democrats were the party of divisiveness. She goes on to say...
Yes, that was what Barack Obama ran on, as you know, and hugely won on, is all his divisiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, and it gets worse. She blamed the media for Sarah Palin's demise. She said that the media was very harsh on Sarah Palin, asking her in-depth questions, and Barack Obama had kickoffs put on him by NBC News. And also, she goes on to say that the... George Bush, it was disrespectful to boo George Bush because he was the president, he is the president, and he did keep America safe. And
blah, blah, blah. Okay, Latron, wow. I could just call my mother again if I wanted to hear those talking points.
When did Dr. Phil become political? Why did he have Ann Coulter talking about politics?
I don't know. Yeah, I got, I believe, pretty much all those talking points from my 86-year-old Republican mom yesterday, and that was...
That's me.
Maybe it's sort of a producer's kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, we got into the Sarah Palin, conversation that, look at how they treated Caroline Kennedy. I'm like, well, at least Caroline Kennedy had the decency to drop out.
Yeah.
If you feel that way about her, that she wasn't prepared. But I said, Sarah Palin's a dope. My mom didn't like that at all. Oh, dear. Well, I couldn't disagree more. She's very smart.
Oh, dear.
Get in there, work on legislation with the vice president and that sort of thing up around there in your brainer.
I know, my mom just didn't, she just discounts anyone that doesn't agree with it. I was like, well, Mike Huckabee said that he thought, you know, Gibson and Sarah and Katie Kirk were very fair, fair, and it was just a disaster. And,
oh, dear.
Oh, well, Katie Kirk, my mom has always hated Katie Kirk with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns.
Why?
I don't know
how can you hate Katie Kirk?
I don't know. She just... does. All right, let's get
Does your mom end every conversation with, oh, dear? Is that her way of...
With me, yes.
Okay.
Tara in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the inauguration. Hey, Tara. Hi, Tara. All right, Tara. Okay, then. We'll come back to you when you're ready. Okay, Dave in Minneapolis on the inauguration. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Mama. After my globetrotting, can I be the official Cub Report, international Cub Reporter of the Stephanie Miller Show?
There you
thank
are.
You.
Foreign correspondent.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
Sounds better.
Yes, thanks for the correction. Much better. It was interesting, the night of the inauguration, well, it was night there in Belgium, everybody was dashing home. Everybody was in like a big hurry, and I said, was talking with people like on the bus and whatever, and she said, well, we have to get home. The inauguration is starting. We're having a big party.
Aww.
So, I mean, again, this whole...
Like us again. They really like us, the world.
Yes, the whole... We're all doing Sally Field at the Academy Awards.
Exactly.
You like us. You really like us.
Exactly. All right, honey. Thank you. Chris in Oakland on the Bush apologists, like my mother. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I know these neo-gons are a lot of fun to laugh at. But, you know, when they start this obfuscative rhetoric stuff, and you know, if you don't want to deal with it, there's a real simple solution. You just look at him, you smile, you tell him, hey, it's all good, because this country is waking up and moving past people like you. And that ends it.
That's what I mean. At some point, like, why are we even arguing? It's like, I'm like, Mom, 80% of the... Well, okay, never mind. It's like, I'm like, well, oh, this is the other thing I said. I said, well, then why did John McCain lose in a landslide? She's like, oh, it wasn't a landslide. I said, well, yeah, okay, never mind.
For a national election, yes, it was.
I think he would have been an excellent president. I said, well, I don't. Okay. So more inauguration stories. And may I have my Hail to the Chief music? Here's my favorite. MSNBC's Chris Matthews was complaining in disbelief because he had to wait in line to get into the Huffington Post ball.
Poor thing.
Hey, not fair enough.
This is not fair enough.
Don't you know who I am? I got a tingle going on my leg.
Oh, boy. See, it's a good thing I didn't realize that I was invited. I would have been on the line behind listening to Chris Matthews, bitch.
God.
Well, Ed Harris waited patiently in the same line without complaining.
Yeah.
He seems like the type that would wait without complaining.
Because he's not a huge egomaniac.
Here's someone that probably does not seem like that. Sharon Stone, who is prone to fits, I understand, threw a fit at the same party, at the HuffPost party, when she found out D.L. Hewley was replacing Larry King during a live CNN segment. Sharon was barking out questions about where Larry King was. When she was told Hughley was doing the interview, she turned cold and snapped, I'm not doing it, and went back to the VIP room.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
She went to what would have been her trailer.
Apparently, if she'd had a trailer, she would have been in it. Oh, Jim, here's something you could have helped with. On inauguration night, Halle Berry was spotted on her way to the Western Ball looking lost and confused in the crowd. She stepped onto the escalator and the train of her dress got caught, causing a scene of panic. She was frantically screaming. Security had
to get it off her! Get it off her! It's the only way! It's the only way!
Squeezy would have been there to get her dress off her immediately and do triage. All right.
And then I have to lie on her to keep her warm. So.
Because it was cold in D.C. Jim would have just been doing the Lord's work.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Condoleezza Rice has signed with William Morris.
Isn't that who you used to be with?
Oh, yeah. That's where all the broken down old has-beens go, apparently.
She's going to do cartoons now? Maybe I'll be working with Condi Rice on something.
This is good news for me. She will not turn up as a talking head on television, so she won't be in the little boxes with me, which would have been very uncomfortable. What with my mentioning the tabloid rumors all the time.
Oh, which tabloid rumors, Stephanie?
Oh, the one that she was sleeping with George Bush.
What?
Oh,
that's crazy.
There you go, spreading those tabloid rumors again.
Okay. Oh, no. Get ready to say what? No. K-Fed not joining Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, no.
No. A source
there
said...
There was a threat of that?
Yes.
All right.
A source said, his career isn't exactly where he wants it to be. Kevin wants to get back into shape and welcomes anyone who can help him.
He's gotten a little big. Have you seen him lately?
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what would help would be if he could sing.
That Starting would, your that would, now every day of week.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's been hitting the donuts and Chinese food places, I think.
Yes.
He's got that voice to fall back on.
Have you seen those places in Hollywood? Donuts and Chinese food? What?
What's that about?
What?
Like chicken and waffles. I don't get that either.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't get how it goes together. It's like those Thanksgiving dishes with candy in them. I don't understand why.
Heart attack on a plate.
Vegetables don't go with candy.
Waffles go with chicken, believe me.
Okay.
Yes, they do.
And greens.
And greens.
But it's why is Thanksgiving the only time of the year you put candy in vegetables? I don't get it.
Yeah,
it's,
yes,
some spinach and juju
peeps. And
yeah, and peeps.
Some kale.
Asparagus and Skittles.
What?
Peeps and oh, God.
The worst of both worlds.
There's peeps in my rutabaga. George Clooney will be shooting scenes this week for an upcoming episode of ER, which is in its 15th and final season on NBC. And I got it. He and Juliana Margulies will reunite.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. Oh, my God. Well, I did follow until the
secret or security,
the restraining order.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll also go back to doing his sort of bobblehead sort of head movements that he used to do when first season of ER. So he became a big movie star, and they told you can't do that when
that
you're
so
when your head's like 90 feet tall.
Yeah,
jump a screen. Yeah.
Oh, when he cocked his head, then you knew he really cared about you.
Yeah, we'd give you vertigo in a movie theater.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the whole audience would move their head like this. What is he doing?
What?
He's moving his head. All right, 57 minutes after the hour, back with, I don't know, Right Wing World?
Sure, let's do that.
Why not? On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Festive Friday Show after a historic week. Woohoo! For America. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are historically tired. We are
epically
exhausted. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian John Fugelsang joins us in studio this hour. Fridays with Frangela next hour. What a show. If you missed the Candy Crowley interview, that'll be up at stephaniemiller.com after the show, as will you can email us there, executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice Dee Dee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller, and you can live blog with us.
That's right.
Like, who is this? Oh, Liberal Hussein Smurf, who wrote a little he wrote a little comedy script on the live blog.
He or she, we don't know.
Oh, we don't know. Steph's mom.
There are female Smurfs.
Steph's mom. How come Randy Rhodes has a boyfriend and you don't? Steph, because I'm a loser, mom. Steph's mom. But there are plenty of desperate men out there, dear. Steph, Randy got the last one. Steph's mom. Oh, dear. All right, that's just a little play from my life. Oh, dear.
But it's kind of true.
Oh, dear. Okay. It's also there is StephanieMiller.com lousy with new pictures
that's
from
right.
Our big trip to D.C. this week, the inauguration. In fact, you can track us magically through time. There's pictures there from the Democratic National Convention, election night party at Mama's house, and then right on through
you just
to
discovered
the inauguration.
This?
Yes, I didn't know until yesterday.
Turns out we have a website.
Oof. Who knew? It's quite delightful. There's all kinds of new video and pictures up there and things and flavins and such. Okay, Carrie wants to know something about the official Black Best Friend of the Stephanie Miller Show. Steph, we haven't heard from the official Black Best Friend of the Stephanie Miller Show, Rodney, since Barack was inaugurated. Has he healed since Hillary lost, and did he cry when Barack took the oath?
We can give him a call.
You don't know? He's your best friend.
Sure.
Has he healed?
Sure.
That didn't sound very convincing.
Yes, I guess so.
Tell him we think Hillary Clinton will be a spectacular Secretary of State. I was very excited yesterday.
We can get him a call and find out.
Why don't we do that?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tommy and Columbus write, Staff, the Republicans need to be careful playing the obstructionist card. Here are his approval ratings in two deep red states from Rasmussen, Texas. Approve 62%, disapprove 35%. Tennessee, approve 60%, disapprove 35%. Yikes. Uh-oh, boner. Boner in your friends. Rot-row, better be careful. Okay. Thank you for that news, Tommy from Columbus. Alrighty. Hey, we have some celebrity stack I didn't finish up. Paris Hilton left the Sundance Film Festival with 30 bags of swag. She left the Hollywood Lifehouse gifting suite with 30 bags stuffed full of free merchandise. Even the PR people representing Hollywood Lifehouse seemed aghast, noting in a press release that the Hilton Hotel heiress did it without shame. You know what she might want to spend a little money on is a publicist that might tell her maybe this isn't a good economic time. What with being a billionaire and all to be taking lots of free stuff. Just saying. Boy George has enraged inmates. Oh, that can't end well.
Turns out they really want to hurt him.
Hey! Oh, dear. He was sentenced last week, as you recall, for, falsely imprisoning a Norwegian male escort. Who hasn't done that once or twice?
Yeah, sure, you betcha.
Who hasn't chained some escort to your torture wall? Anyway, he's got a job in the cushy job in the canteen. He will earn $12 a week serving meals to fellow convicts.
Hmm.
Okay, just saying.
So wow. He'll be a bitchy waiter.
Great.
He's going to spit in people's food. Uh-huh. Okay, Donald Trump's casino company has 2 more weeks to perfect the art of the new deal with its investors. Otherwise, the debt-laden casino empire could be headed for a third spin through bankruptcy. His debt is...
huge. Huge debt. It's huge.
That's the only reason I did that story.
Huge.
That's the only reason I did that story to hear him say.
Huge.
Spectacular?
Spectacular huge.
You're fired.
Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Here we go.
Oh, I haven't thought this through.
Uh-oh.
Cartoon character. Thank you, Tennessee. The fight up. Get your Republican talking points.
Chumley. I don't believe Republican talking points.
Chumley. Who's that first character? George Bush? No. That's funny. Okay.
Chumley the lion.
Oh,
was
yeah.
He a lion?
No, he was at the South Pole, so he was a walrus, I believe.
Oh, he was a walrus.
Duh, Chris.
Who's the lion?
Walruses are...
Super Chicken.
Okay.
Super Chicken had the lion. Yes,
right.
Okay.
Speaking of our favorite cartoon characters, Britt Hume, who is still around as a Fox, I don't know what he is, correspondent.
Mm-hmm.
He's frequently on the... Britt Hume is on the... Mm-hmm. Does he actually say Britt Hume? Reporting for...
No.
Okay. Anyway, talking about how well-liked Bush is by everybody in the military. Okay.
This is an interesting send-off the Air Force is giving for our President Bush now. He was well-liked, I've been given to believe, by everyone in the military, and particularly those who had to deal with him personally, because of his, the way, the courtesy with which he treats individuals and the consideration he shows them and so on. The U.S. military liked him and supported him.
Sending them into an unnecessary war without some proper body armor and then cutting their benefits when they get home?
Difference. This could have something to do with why the military supported Obama 6-1 in terms of fundraising.
Yeah. Could be. Hey, bring the show to a screeching halt. Guess who's on the phone, Chris?
Who?
It's Rodney, the official black best friend of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh.
Hello, Rodney.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rodney.
How are you, everybody, on this brand new day?
Hey, it's a new day. At you quoting Will I Am to me. Yeah. You're with the whole. You're on the Obama train now.
I am. As soon as Hillary told me to get off, I got on.
Now, the writer wanted to know: are you healed over the Hillary loss?
I am.
Good.
You know, we took it in stride, and it was what was best. It's what the country decided.
And did you weep as required by law, black people, when Barack Obama was inaugurated?
I took the entire day off.
Oh, you did?
He did.
I watched it from 6:30 in the morning until the last ball at like 10.
Wow. Did you see me?
I did not see. I had gone out for sushi.
That's when I was on. Okay.
Yeah, like most black people do. So I took a little break, and so I did miss you.
Okay. Well, I know because actually the little overhead camera went over me a lot, and some guy in the metro was like, "Oh, I saw you on TV."
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It looked awesome, but it was much warmer in my house.
All right. Rub it in. All right. Well, good. Now we've answered the questions. Do you get to have a lot of sway, like getting tables in restaurants as the official black best friend of the Stephanie Miller Show?
I swing it around wherever I can. Now that Obama's in the White House, it is totally a new day. My friend said the other day, our time is over. I said, you had about 400 years. this is now the age of the black man.
By the way, thank you for being Chris Lavoie's best friend and going out to his 40th birthday dinner with him at 5:30.
Yeah.
Oh, no problem.
Yes.
I have to tell you, I like to eat early. I'm looking forward to being older for that 4:30, 5:30 happy hour.
Did you cut Chris's food special into a fine paste for him?
No, for what it cost, they did it for you.
Yes, all right. Absolutely.
Thank you, Rodney.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye, guys.
There you go. It's the official black best friend with the Stephanie.
That's very funny.
All right, John Fury. Oh, this was the big right wing story that Barack Obama is not really present because of the.
The president wasn't officially sworn in the first time. How about those executive orders? Are they valid? And he did not have a good answer when a reporter asked that question. So he's Robert Gibbs has got to get those questions right.
And then after that, and then I went to grandma's house, and then I read a story, and I saw a bird, and then I.
He sounds like a little kid who's just stumbling over something.
But, and then because he's not really the president, so you know all this.
Wow. Welcome to the next 4 years.
Yeah, great.
Even if that were the case, and he weren't actually technically president right at noon, whether he took the oath of office or not, he retook it, so the whole point is moot.
Oh,
shut up. Go back to your little...
Right.
Such a pie hole. Okay. Bill O'Reilly on the shutting down of Gitmo.
It's no surprise that Barack Obama is going to shut down Guantanamo Bay and all of this stuff. He said he would. The people who supported him from the jump demanded the whole anti-terror apparatus be dismantled. He seems to be doing that. At least he's saying he's going to do it. Behind the scenes, we never know.
As you know, Bill O'Reilly drove his limousine by Gitmo and rolled down the tinted window, and there's no torture going on. So I don't know what he was talking about.
It's going to be a long 8 years for Bill.
Yeah, isn't it? Wow, All right. Laura Ingram on the Gitmo.
We're hoping that the detainees end up in Malibu near Barbara Streisand. Forget Mirtha. We want them all to go to Malibu. Uh-huh. And then we'll really start seeing the fight.
Wow. Okay, they're still going back to Barbara Streisand jokes?
I guess so. That's all they got, I guess.
There was quite a bit of booing and sneering and nastiness toward President Bush. I'm sure you've heard the audio.
Yeah, we
saw.
He walked
on the podium for the first time from the crowd when he was flying away in the helicopter. Mm-hmm. You know the chants that were heard on other cable networks, and they tried to ignore it. So there was, without a doubt, Bill, and maybe it was fringe, but it was palpable. You could feel it, and
there
you
were some.
It's almost like polls would show some sort of lack of.
Of course, she wouldn't know anything about sneering and condescension.
Where's that coming from, Bill? I don't understand. It's like it's not like there's any polling to support that perhaps people are not particularly pleased with George W. Bush. It's just that fringe, that 80% of the country fringe.
Yeah.
Okay. O'Reilly on the, apparently we're dead.
Is it all over for the liberal press?
Uh-oh.
With the left taking power in Washington, you'd think the left-wing media would be prospering, but no.
What?
The stats are grim.
What?
The Seattle Post-Intelligencer, nearly bankrupt. The Minneapolis Star Tribune, bankrupt. The Boston Globe, losing millions. The New York Times, in serious trouble.
Lots of papers are doing badly, Bill, because of the internets, among other things.
Yeah, he's been reporting on this for years now.
Yeah.
And by the way, right-wing papers, not doing any better.
No.
Just FYI, GTK. Okay.
And just you wait. We get a little more fair representation in individual markets.
They're getting scared.
Much more of a 50-50 split.
They're getting a little bit scared about us.
See who's doing well.
Yeah. The folks voted the Democrats in. That doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, that most Americans want radical change or a socialist economy.
What?
Most don't.
Socialists. They want things to stay exactly the way they are, because things are going so well.
That's why they voted for change.
Yes.
If anything to the left of what Bush offered would be socialism. Communism.
You know, they're the ones that keep saying Barack Obama's a socialist, but if he is, then yep, that's what they voted for.
Yeah.
That's what I guess in a landslide. That's, yep. Okay. Oh, Limbaugh on the Hannity show. He's been helping a Hannity, and now here's some more Hannity.
Limbaugh interview.
Oh, gosh. Sorry, I missed the first part.
If you look at the Democrat Party, are they for life?
Huh?
What?
Folks, they're the party of abortion.
Oh.
Liberty? These are the people that are trying to pass any law they can to restrict where you can go, what you can do when you get there, where you can eat, what you can eat, what you can smoke when you can't smoke, what kind of baby you can have, all these things.
What?
Pursuit of happiness? I have yet to see a happy liberal.
What?
I have yet to see a happy Democrat. They're always angry about things.
What? Have you seen that? People in D.C., the inauguration?
I was like, that was an Obamagasm.
Oh, it was so somber there. Yeah.
By the way, Rush, in case you didn't know.
Stephanie Miller.
The home of happy, clappy liberalism. Everyone knows that. Whee! And that's without OxyContin.
That's right.
Check into it sometime.
Yeah, well, that little sex trips to a Dominican Republic. Stephanie Miller.
Some people don't need pills to be happy, Rush. Okay, they just need to get their country back. Okay. Hannity on Geithner.
Now, he admitted that he didn't pay his taxes, and the evidence suggests that it was more than just an innocent mistake. Now, the White House talking point that his mistake while working at the IMF was common has been refuted. And there are serious questions about the nominee's involvement precipitating this financial crisis. And yet, Tim Geithner will still be confirmed. Not because he's the right person for the job, but because, well, we just need someone to fill the post right now. Can you imagine if you ran your business this way?
Oh, my God. Okay, Chris, I have a confession to make.
What?
I have not watched the Hannity and more Hannity, and here's some more Hannity if you want some more show on Fox. But that is that it? It's him?
Some guy made a mistake once.
Over loud rock music, he just spews those talking points like that forever?
Yes.
That's kind of what it is in that really soothing voice, Jim, that kind of, wow.
If you're running business, would you hire somebody who ever made a mistake in their life? No.
We need some loud, annoying rock music to go with it. Okay.
Look, he's just a guy for hire because he needed a place, but he needs to fill his position. Just found a guy who did something, some stuff, back then at a time when there wasn't any reason. And is this really the one you want?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay, that concludes a right-wing world. Wowee.
Yeah, I've already got a headache.
Did Riley say it's the liberal media that's going to be doing well? We'll see. Okay, 20 minutes after the hour.
I think he'll be firing his producer in a few weeks.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Who are those freaks?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Holly in Fort Lauderdale on the closing of Gitmo. Hello, Holly.
Hi, I'm a happy liberal Democrat.
Me too.
I think Rush missed me when he was counting.
I know. I know lots of happy clappy liberals these days.
I just wanted to say that I don't understand the all the senators and congressmen who are up in arms about how they don't want these, you know, terrible Gitmo detainees in their state. And I'm thinking, have they not watched these shows on MSNBC on the weekend? You know, the ones with
the doc blocks?
Yeah. Yeah.
The prison stuff.
The people in those prisons, they like eat babies. I mean, those people, if they put them in any of those prisons, would be screaming to go back to Gitmo. It's not like they're going to put them in the Mayberry jail with Otis. I don't understand.
Maybe they need to pipe in some MSNBC to Gitmo.
I know. Those are scary places.
Those prisons have people with names like White Power Bill, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right, honey. Thank you. Let's go to Jim in Everett, Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Caribou Barbie. Hello, Jim.
Well, I believe the most four most frightening words in the English language are Quail Palin 2012.
Actually, that would be fun.
You betcha. And she would be the intellectual of the group.
Yeah,
so that's
great. Exactly. Yeah, how about seeing him at the inauguration? Yeah. Like, oh boy, remember that?
Well, he's still around.
Do you remember somebody had published like his greatest hits too? Because you've forgotten so many of them. One of them is one of the most important things is the bondage between a mother and child.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's something completely different from the bond between mother and child.
Special, special. Okay, Lori in Chicago on Captain Phone Sex, Bill O'Reilly. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Stephanie. I saw the ultimate Bill O'Reilly show on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Three things. Top of the show, he declared himself either the number one or the biggest journalist in the country. Number two, he is now the Paul Revere of the United States.
We played that audio yesterday.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And then number three, he had on some website twit Amanda Carpenter, who kept on railing about how insulting and rude Saturday Night Live was regarding the Ann Coulter parody. She was just outraged. I couldn't stop laughing.
Yeah. Kristen Wiig played Ann Coulter.
The Paul Revere. What did that mean, Lori? He'll tell us when the British are coming or what?
He's warning us of danger.
Yes, he's going to keep Obama on his toes. He is going to warn us of danger. He is the Paul Revere on his Trojan horse.
And he stole that from somebody else.
I think that's not the kind of horse, but okay.
Paul Revere and a Trojan horse?
That's, I was just going to say, that was a reference I would mix up. No, wow. That's a different horse entirely. All right, he's more horse's ass, frankly.
Yes.
You're going to be more technical about it. 28 minutes after the hour, comedian John Fugelsang joins us live in the studio next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts about
Stephanie Miller?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Amy in Iowa, real quick on George Clooney. Hi, Amy.
Good morning. Happy belated birthday, Chris.
Thank you.
First, have the whiny violin music, please.
Oh, Chris, please give her your, not your organ, your violin. Thank you.
Yes. We finally have tickets to go to the Blue State Ball, sponsored by AM 950 KTNF, the Voice of Minnesota. And you're not going to be there, Stephanie.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. It's been a week for Mama. I just got off the plane.
But come on, just for me.
I'm sorry, honey. I can't get back on a plane today.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Anyway, so turns out somewhere way down along the line, I have relations that live in Brooksville and Mason County and so on. In Kentucky, where...
All right, get to the George Clooney part, for God's sakes.
Okay, so my cousin evidently took George Clooney to the snowball dance when they were in high school, and she...
Your cousin had a ball with George Clooney.
Yeah, well, this is a little different. But anyway, and she had to drive because he was too young to drive, which I always think is kind of amusing.
Wow.
And
she got a nice piece of that young George Clooney meat. Delightful. All right, honey. Thank you. The only reason I brought that up is because, speaking of really, really dreamy and really talented and really funny, why, Chris, who's here?
It's comedian John Fugelsang.
What? We have a doorbell? Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Wonderful. Now, I have it on authority that weepy violin music was lip-synced by Yo-Yo Ma.
Yes. Did you hear that, Milli Vanilli?
Oh, I hate that fiddle-syncing. Oh, Toby Keith's guy would never fiddle-sync. That's Obama's a liar. He's got a fiddle sinker on stage.
What pretenders, Yo-Yo Ma and Itzhak Perlman? They're the Milli Vanilli of classical music.
He always ruins the Oscar pool for me, Yo-Yo Ma. He always screws me on the Oscar pool. Don't trust the Yo-Yo Ma.
See,
you know what?
Aretha went out there and sang, even though it was cold.
Badly. Here's the transparency.
Hmm. But you know what? Cold weather warps cellos. So...
Stop quoting Limbaugh to me.
John Fugelsang, what'd you think of the big week here in America?
Well, Americans finally have a reason to be inspired by a new leader, and the red states couldn't be happier. There's a fourth judge on Idol. It's a beautiful thing. I loved listening to your show, and I loved hearing you guys in D.C., because y'all deserve to be in D.C., because y'all gave so much hope to so many people of good brains and good guts and good hearts in the last 8 years, and I'm happy for you that you got to be there.
Oh, well, it was, the frostbite and the broken metatarsal were worth it. In my opinion.
All the recovering cynics stumbling around the cities of America going, where do I displace my hate now? I'll tell you, boy bands, okay?
There you go. Focus
boy
that somewhere
bands.
Else.
Give it to the Jonas Brothers.
Now, they have already gotten to work the right wing. You talk so eloquently, of course, about the religious right. Chris, take your organ out for me, please. Thank you. Still reeling from a decisive loss in the fall elections and showing little desire to work in a bipartisan way, conservative organizations have already begun to criticize descriptions of Barack Obama's civil rights agenda on the WhiteHouse.gov website. There's apparently going to be some sort of civil rights of some kind, and they're not happy about that.
Jesus hated civil rights. I don't know if you've read the Gospels. You heathen. And gore whore, but Jesus hated civil rights.
The civil rights section, John, has an extensive outline of the new president's views on a number of matters affecting the gay and lesbian community.
Mm.
Would you like to know what Focus on the Family thinks of that?
I'd be very curious to know their take on it.
You'll be shocked.
Yeah, please.
There, President Obama is no friend of family values, and that is made perfectly clear on the White House website. This is the most bold and comprehensive pro-homosexual abortion-friendly administration agenda we've ever seen, to which I say, party on! Okay. Expressing a desire to knock down separation of church and state, she added, this is no time for Christians to remain silent.
You know what? The most anti-family character in the entire Bible is Jesus, if you read it. It's hilarious. You know, and these are the same people who support the death penalty. So forgive us our trespasses as we lethally inject those who trespass against us.
Donald Wildman, head of the American Family Association, issued a call to the organization members to write the White House. I also oppose your effort to give special rights to a group of people based on their practicing of perverted sex. You're comparing perverted sexual You're comparing perverted sexual behavior with the color of one's skin is very offensive. Oh, suddenly they're for civil rights for the black people now, but they're, I see, they're trying to do more of that dividing of the people. Mm-hmm. Okay, wow, that didn't take them long to get in a huff, did it?
Yeah, and it's got nothing to do with Jesus, you know? Yeah. And that's what good progressives have got to do. They've got to be able to use Jesus against these guys, because I don't blame Jodie Foster for what her crazed fans do, and I'm not going to blame JC for what his crazed fans do. Yeah. And just use the Bible against them, folks. It's really easy to do.
Yeah.
There's no greater black liberal socialist in history than Jesus.
What do you think of the Reverend Warren thing? So his thing was not bad, but I wasn't happy with the selection.
I thought it was pretty lame. I really thought he had a great chance to be inclusive of our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters and really earn some points for him and for saddlebacking, and he didn't do it, and he had a chance. And I just think Rick Warren should be very lucky that gays are not against gluttonous bigot marriage.
That's the thing. It's like he makes sounds of inclusiveness, but you don't start a question, or, you know, a conversation about tolerance by comparing homosexuals to, you know, what is it, incest? And what was the other thing?
Exactly.
Pedophilia. Incest.
Jesus never mentioned same-sex relationships, and I could bore you with a lot of theology that would actually go to prove he was okay with it. There's lots of evidence. The Roman with the centurion, with the dying boy lover and all that stuff.
Did you read the Newsweek that made everybody crazy a few weeks ago with the religious case for gay marriage?
Yeah. And it's absolutely correct. It's consistent with love. It's consistent. I love that the Christians are against love. I mean, it's an insult to God, and homophobia is an insult to God, but it's every bit as natural as being gay as it's tribal, and it's just beautiful to see that so many people in this country are kind of rising above it and coming together, and you know, just to watch President Bush be stupefied on the dais as he was being insulted for an hour and a half.
Yes.
Having Obama pretty much wag it in his face. I'm pitching a reality show for George and Laura called Dumb or Medicated. Every week we'll insult George in front of a million people and he'll have no reaction, then hug you when it's done, and you have to guess, dumb or medicated? Because Pickles is sharing the stash, I think.
Yeah. Exactly. So I was saying that, do you remember before the election when people thought, oh, this is a long shot, Obama will win, we would read these fantasy headlines, you know, President Obama closes Gitmo. I'm like, oh my God.
Lib porn.
I'm having an Obamagasm just reading the newspapers these days.
I was watching MSNBC and there were Obamagasms all over the place. Hey, you're watching Harbaugh! Keith Olbermann got some on me, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, no.
No, but it's great to see so much joy. I mean, people are so many folks gave up hope, and there's so many great people, especially writers, who gave up hope. And we lost Hunter Thompson, and we lost you know, David Foster Wallace, and to see that this hope thing isn't just hype, and that this many people really believe it. And I'm under no illusions that Obama's this great liberal leader. I mean, I think he's a responsible, moderate Republican the way Clinton was. But what he's
Somebody's not watching Fox News enough. He's a socialist.
Well, so is Christ, you know? And it's been great listening to the right-wing radio and hearing them flip out. I mean, Hannity, all Hannity's whole case was, it wasn't a really inspiring speech. You know, you expect a lot more out of this guy. And it just was pretty mundane. These are people who spent 8 years defending a president who couldn't spell the word spell, and they're attacking Obama's speech.
Yeah, exactly. So Barack Obama ordered the U.S. camp for suspected terrorists at Gitmo closed within a year, banned intelligence agencies from using the harshest in terror. He said, we don't torture. What? The president also formed a task force to recommend options for the detention and questioning of enemy combatants. He ordered the CIA to close any secret prisons that may still be operating. He said the message we're sending around the world is the U.S. intends to prosecute the ongoing struggle against violence and terrorism, and we are going to do so effectively, and we're going to do so in a manner that is consistent with our values and our ideals. Wow.
Beautiful.
It's what the
world needs to understand that America will be unyielding in its defense of its security and relentless in its pursuit of those who would carry out terrorism or threaten the United States. And that's why in this twilight struggle, we need a durable framework. The orders that I signed today should send an unmistakable signal that our actions in defense of liberty will be just as our costs.
Yeah, and then he said again that great line from the speech that made Bush look like he smelled a giant fart.
We are not, as I said in the inauguration, going to continue with a false choice between our safety and our ideals. We intend to win this fight. We're going to win it on our terms.
Did you? Tom Hartman had a direct view of Bush during that. He was that close to the stage, and he said he literally did the like frat boy eye roll and smirk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Bush was aware and sentient during that speech.
Yeah. I know.
Clapping
you think
like
he was
seal at one point.
Well, he's the America whisperer. He's the pack leader. You know, Cesar Millan has coached this guy. It's like he's going to be calm, assertive, and dominant. And he's the country whisperer. He's a righteous pack leader, and it's beautiful to see. And even just for the vision of, you know, all the comedians are all saying, "What are we going to joke about? What's going to be funny?" And on the last day, Cheney gives it to us.
I know.
He tries
and
to lift
there's
the
Mr. Potter.
He tried to lift the crypt by himself. Himself, didn't get Renfield to help him, and then
Happy New Year to you in jail. Mein Führer, I walk.
I have it on authority that Cheney's just faking it, so right. He can still have a good parking space.
Those were his last words to George Bush.
Mein Führer,
okay.
He's like the bastard child of Dr. Strangelove and Gargamel.
44 minutes after the hour, back with more on our big week here in America with comedian John Fugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. The phone number. Jim in Michigan. You were at the Obama Radio Nation event, were you, sir?
Yeah, I were. Hi, Steph.
Hi, honey. Hi.
We all appreciated you showed up at the reception afterwards.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was our 3-hour broadcast. Bill Press, Randy Rhodes, Ed Schultz, all the folks.
It was great. And my daughter and her friend were standing around, and I took off to the table to get some more free booze.
Yes.
And I ran into you and introduced myself, and I pointed to my daughter, and I said, if you have a minute and wouldn't mind, come on over, and I'll introduce you. And you said, great. And I thought, oh, right, sure. You know, everyone wants to shake this woman's hand.
Yeah.
And yet, 5 minutes later, there you were. And I just wanted you to know, I really appreciated that.
Oh, you're welcome, honey.
For my daughter, and it was very gracious.
The kind of girl she is.
I'm a girl that can't say no. Thank you, Jim. Nice to meet y'all.
That time I said, Stephanie, I need a kidney, and she didn't think twice.
I did not. I ripped it right out without anesthesia.
Ripped her kidney out of her own back and handed it right to me.
He always catches me when I'm drunk. I'm like,
oh. Right on the dash bus she did it. I couldn't believe it. It's beautiful.
I love these people that think I have anything better to do. No, I don't really. It's not like I'm making a sacrifice. Okay, John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire. Speaking of people that are delightful to meet in person, John Fugelsang will be in Albuquerque?
I'll be in Albuquerque at the Revolutions International Theater Festival performing my Off-Broadway Drama League-nominated one-man show, Are You There, God? It's Me. No, it's called All the Wrong Reasons, and I'll be performing that next week on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, I believe.
We'd love us some Albuquerque.
It's the Revolutions International Theater
Festival.
You're
a twinglet in Albuquerque.
Yeah. Well, that's where Bugs Bunny always went accidentally, so I wanted to have my chance to go. And this is the show I did off. It's going back off Broadway in the spring. So
good, yay! Wow. And John Fugelsang is even more delightful in person.
Oh, bless your heart.
Than he is on the radio and on the TV machine, I must say.
Well, bless your heart, Stephanie.
Because you can see.
And we'll be
no.
You can see how incredibly dreamy he is.
No. Can we talk about Caroline Kennedy for 1 second?
Yes, okay. Who's the new senator from New York?
Gillibrand.
Gillibrand?
Mr. Patterson wants to be governor for a long time, and he's made the right choice, I think, if that's his goal, because she has 100% rating from the NRA and an 80% rating on LGBT issues.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So all those upstate gays.
She's for guns and gays.
Exactly. Yeah, like the Howard Dean formula. You know, you can be for guns and gays. What's wrong with it? So it's I was rooting for Carolyn Maloney myself, but I'm glad that, you know, we're worried about nepotism with the Bushes, and it was going to be between Cuomo's son and Kennedy's daughter for Clinton's wife's seat.
Yeah.
And so
suddenly we're very concerned about nepotism.
Caroline Kennedy, I like that lady, but last time at Kennedy pulled out of something that fast, it involved Marilyn Monroe.
Yay! Okay, come on now, Don Fugel saying, come on.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll be here all minute.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what Maryland did for me.
Yes, thank you, Jim Ward. Thank
you. The right wing has no right to be angry about any of this. These, you know, when I hear that clip you played before and hearing Lufa going off, and it's like, you guys were wrong about everything for
everything.
8 years. They should be on their knees thanking us for not indicting them as co-conspirators.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Bush deserves, I mean, when you're responsible for killing that many people and you're that in denial about it, Bush should share a cell with OJ.
Yeah. I've actually said that to Sean Hannity's face. I've said, you know, you are absolutely really, really wrong about everything, and that's why God made you pretty.
Mm-hmm. Well, how's the eye test coming along? They should be glad that they're not in jail. These guys are the enablers. They're the ones who were wrong about everything. They have to be reminded they were wrong about everything. They don't get to feel good about this war. They don't get to throw any of the surges working crap in your face.
Yep.
They don't get to feel good about anything that went down. And that's why I was so thrilled at the booing of Bush.
Yeah, me too.
I got so turned off hearing a lot of the media guys go, oh, that's bad form. Oh, why do they have to do
it?
The president comes. I know you disagree on the ideology, but when the man comes, it's his last day. Don't boo. And I'm like, this is the most insulated president in history.
Yeah, my 86-year-old Republican mother was not happy about that when I told her that I was there when Bush's helicopter left.
And oh, I
was booing. She was like, oh, dear, Steffi, you've become such a radical.
I cheer the booers. That, you know, 200 years ago, they wouldn't have been booing because they would have been busy collecting feathers and tar.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the one chance you got to boo this guy.
That's why my mom didn't like the joke I did on C-SPAN about the Obama's train trip into Washington. I said, meanwhile, we rode George Bush out of Washington on a rail as well. My mom didn't, yeah.
Oh, your mom's so lovely and has brought so much beauty into the world. She can appreciate it. You know, what the media doesn't get is these guys work for us, you know, and all the politicians, they work for us. That was not booing. That was an unsatisfactory performance report.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. By the way, did you see Dick Cheney is unhappy with Bush for not pardoning Scooter Libby?
Wow.
The only thing I like about that is that means possibly. Could it be that maybe?
Scooter Libby's going to jail. He will take it in the tail. Scooter Libby had some power. Better hold on to the soap in the shower.
Who knew we'd be able to dust that off, perhaps?
He could share a cell with OJ.
If it doesn't fit, you must submit.
Hey!
I'm driving my Bronco.
Here's what I love. John Dean, our buddy, our pal, wrote in 2005, him. When one studies the indictment, carefully reads the transcript of the press conference, it appears Libby's saga may only be act two in a three-act play. And in my view, the person who should be tossing and turning at night in anticipation of the last act is Vice President of the United States, Richard B. Cheney.
I was so surprised there were no final pardons. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was really
I just thought back to his dad on Christmas Day of 92, pardoning every Iran-Contra criminal, and there was nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I don't know.
You want some company in The Hague, probably.
He's going to be alone. He takes Dick everywhere with him. Yeah, speaking of which.
I thought Laura did that.
Yay!
Now, speaking of the Caroline Kennedy thing, so the New York paper is reporting all sorts of things. I don't know what the real reason is. Chris, did you suss out what it actually was? They said there were tax and nanny issues. And then marriage issues. I don't know what that was about.
I heard all of the above, actually.
The Village Voice had a very
what's wrong with their marriage
last week about all this.
Oh, they did. Yeah,
that and the education stuff. And
yeah. Anyway, apparently the New York Post said he had no intention of picking her because of those issues.
This has been very upsetting for Ted Kennedy as well, because that personal reasons had a lot of people thinking it was Ted's health. And you know, Ted is very upset about that because he's got a lot of Medicare reform going through Congress, and he doesn't want to be perceived as weak. So,
right.
You know, he's doing quite well. It's a very sad story, and I would love to see Caroline Kennedy run for office someday. I think that that she owes it to herself to
yeah.
get a shot at it.
Yeah, well, maybe she will. Speaking in other senatorial news, I don't know if this is a sign, but Norm Coleman has taken a job. He is a... He seems to be making preparations. He the position at the, what is it, the it's the Jewish, Republican Jewish Coalition, is that what it's called? Something, it's a job he couldn't hold, obviously, if he were in office.
Right.
And if he were to pull out a win, how beholden would he be to RJC interests is what people are asking. The group not only lobbies the government, but will have helped finance his legal bills at this point.
Can we just replace the word lobbyist with bribes for a day?
Yeah,
just so the American
exactly.
people understand what we're talking about with this. You know, I've heard that Norm Coleman is, he's actually so unfunny he's been offered to write the last half of Saturday Night Live.
Hey! Ladies and gentlemen.
He and Al can swap.
Coleman said Wednesday he's putting his personal items into storage and he'll retrieve them when he knows where they're going. They have for now.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
We can keep a stapler. What's wrong with that? All right. John Fugelsang, once again, how can you find out about all things John Fugelsang?
You can. Well, my website is under construction, but come see me on Facebook or MySpace.
Okay. And come see him in Albuquerque, New Mexico next week?
Yes, at the Revolutions International Theater Festival in Albuquerque.
How might one get tickets?
You can go, I believe it's revolutionsfestival.com, or just go to my Facebook page, and it'll all be posted up there.
We love you, John Fugelsang.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Y'all are doing the Lord's work, and
thank you, baby.
Give so many people so much hope for such a long time. Thank you. Blessings.
It made me hot. Right back on the Stephanie Miller.